Lady listeners, could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? It sure can. You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we have to suffer through it. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through it anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, y'all. Hormone Harmony has been part of my routine in 2024 and will continue to be in 2025 because, simply put, it makes me feel better. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today. Listeners, did you know each year Americans throw away 25% more trash from Thanksgiving to New Year's? This year, let's turn our New Year's resolution into actions that make a difference by switching to Blue Land. An estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year. And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. Plus, those products are often filled with nasty ingredients like chlorine and ammonia. It's a lose-lose situation for us and the planet. But Blue Land has made it their mission to do something about it. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautiful, cohesive design that looks great on your counter. You just fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. Refills start at just $2.25. Tab and I are loving Blue Land. We love how great the products work and smell, and the space saving from just having refillable tablets to store instead of bulky bottles is great. Also, we love having it shipped to our doors. It's so convenient and just one less thing to think about at the grocery store. And hello, Blue Land saves you money and helps the planet. What is not to love about that? Blue Land has a special offer for our listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/clink. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/clink for 15% off. That's blueland.com/clink to get 15% off. You don't need to feel like financial wellness is impossible. Acorns gives you small, simple steps to get you and your money on track. What I love about Acorns is knowing I am doing something proactive for my future. And it's not a time suck because basically Acorns does the hard part for you so you can give your money a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome.
I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Awesome.
Housewives of True Crime.
Housewives of True Crime. Yeah, I just did a wardrobe change because I was silly. Me wore a green tube top, which is so ambitious of me. I never do that, but I'm going to a little lunch thing.
Oh, that's
brag. And I was originally going to ask you about, I'm going braless. What is our feeling of the nipples? You know, there's the nipple bra.
Yeah, that actually shows like fake nips, right? Yeah. Here's the thing. It's kind of embarrassing, but I think as you get older, your nipples are not in the same location. So like one can be like lower than the other.
Mm-hmm. So I got a real wonky one. Yeah.
I mean, they all look great when you're young, and then you got kids and like, you know, even my friend at the gym the other day, she was like, hey, fix your nip because through my shirt, one was like way down below. So I was like, oh, thanks. Yeah. Let me pull that one up. So I think nips are fine to show.
I just put tape over them.
I have those nipple covers, but
I feel like the bra looks stupid. Like it's just, it doesn't work with the shirt.
I mean,
they're not nipple covers. Like I used medical tape. I feel like it works just fine.
If you have perky boobs, I think it's fine. If they're sagging, then I don't want to see it.
Well, I'll ask for opinions at lunch.
Okay. All right.
So
I would love your opinion on something else.
Oh,
that
please,
happened to
please.
Me.
I'd love to be opinionated.
Weekend. Actually, it wasn't me. It was my kiddo, my youngest. Okay, Colton. He loves the football. Like, absolutely cannot.
It's starting. Falls out, balls
enough.
Out, people.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we went to the freshman game Thursday. The kids sat in the front. Like, there's not that many kids or not that many people there, you know? So he's in the front row, walking back and forth, just like following the ball, watching every single minute of their game. Wants to go the next night to the, you know, big varsity game. And I'm like, dude, I'm tapped out. I already went to the freshman game. I can't, two in one weekend is a lot. So I sent him with a friend, and the friend that we went with, they have a varsity player. So they're
in it to win it. That's
they're
fun.
In it to win it.
Yeah,
they have
okay.
the expensive seats. They got Colton, a seat that like folds out, you know?
Oh yeah.
And she let the boys just kind of run around a little bit, and they were throwing out t-shirts. And so Colton and his friend were down below, like catching the shirts, like all the little kids want to do. Well, one kid beside them, they were both jumping in for the shirt. Neither of them got it. An older guy got it. And the kid next to Colton dropped his phone and it broke. He looked at Colton and blamed him for the broken phone. And he's older than Colton. He's probably in middle school.
And, okay, he charged for a t-shirt in front of two little boys. He then didn't give either one of the little boys
the
t-shirt.
No, I'm talking about the kid. The kid broke his phone. The older kid, the middle schooler.
The middle schooler.
Yes, and actually the old man that charged for the t-shirt did give Colton the t-shirt, but that kid that
nice.
Broke
that
his
happened.
Phone yeah. took it from him. Okay?
He took it from him because he blamed Colton for him dropping his phone?
Yeah. Yeah, okay, it gets better. So then he gets all his little buddies and he's like, hey, come with me to Colton. And Colton was like, right? Like, no way, which is good. I'm glad he did not do that. And so my girlfriend, who's sitting in her seat, she says, all I can see is Colton and my son running towards me. And I could tell Colton has a panic look on his face and these kids are running after them. And my, you know, Colton is just, he's just mellow. He does not get into anything. He's a rule follower. This is not typical for him to have some boys chasing him. So he comes up, and then the dad of this kid comes up to my friend and looks at her, and he's like, is that your son? She was like, he's with me. Do you have a problem? He was like, yeah, it's going to be a $50 problem or a $1,000 problem. She was like, what are you talking about? And she was like, Colton, come here. She's like, did you break this kid's phone? And he was like, no, we did not break anybody's phone. He dropped his phone. We don't even know. We didn't even see him drop his phone. You know, they had no idea. They were like, I don't even know what this kid is talking about. You know? And his dad freaking bullied my girlfriend to like the point where, I mean, she came and talked to me about this. Colton was crying the whole time because he's like, you did this. She's like, did you see it? He's like, no.
First of all, fuck that guy. Under any circumstance, it's not Colton's fault. Okay. Because the kid dropped his phone. He dropped it. Also, buy your kid an OtterBox. Why would you trust a middle school age boy with a phone that didn't have a case on it? And of course, you should have the best insurance ever.
I know.
Because this shit happens and it is
your kid's fault. It's not Colton's fault.
It's not. It's like no one's fault, dude.
It's no one's fault. This shit just happens.
And I mean, I'm telling you, like,
I want to punch that guy. And you know what else I want to punch about that guy is if her husband was there.
No, so her husband. So listen to this. It gets. I mean, you can't.
Because you know he would not have handled it the same way.
No, her husband was there.
And what did he say?
And her husband, like, almost, you know, got into it with him. But then he kind of dissed her husband and was like, clearly, like, you like wear the pants or something like that to her. And I'm like, dude, this guy is he's a real piece of business. So I'm like, who is this guy? Because this is a small town. I'm going to find you. And yeah. I don't like that. And that's the reason your kid is also a freaking bully.
That is the reason your kid is a bully. Also,
and you're bullying my kid, my 10-year-old.
Oh my
I'm
God.
Sorry.
Even if it's clearly unintentional, even if, let's say, Colton was at fault for breaking the phone. Not that in any universe that's possible. But you know how I am? If a kid unintentionally breaks something, I do anything not to make them feel bad.
Oh my God.
That's because that's what kids do.
Dude, and you just need insurance on your kid's phone. Sorry. Like, just get it.
Oh,
they are going to break their phone.
Tab.
And they
I'm
do
all fired
shit.
Up.
I know. So that's what I told you on Patreon. If anybody listened on Patreon last week, I was like, I got to tell the story on like the main podcast because like, listen, I mean, I don't know who treats anybody like that, but I would never go up and be so demanding of anybody. And then it's not even their kid, right? It's like, and I guess he kept saying that. So even my girlfriend who was sitting in front of them that didn't know like the family that Colton was with called me the next day. And she was like, I have to tell you, I felt so bad for Colton. This guy was such a jerk. I can't believe how he treated the family or Colton. She went up to Colton after and gave him a hug. I'm like, what the hell?
You're like, all I was trying to do was miss one football game. They're so fucking boring.
I know. And
now
then,
I feel bad.
Now I feel like he's going to not want to go to the football game again. Or he's going to be scared when he does.
No, he just needs a lot of reasonable adults to say like, hey, that was not okay.
Yeah.
Like there's always going to be people like that. And you just got to keep your head up and keep going. And it's not okay. And you don't have to take it. And you don't have to be scared. I'll call him.
Don't ever follow those kids.
Yeah.
Or the dad ever.
No. Okay.
So anyways, that was that.
All right. Well, I have a story to tell.
Yes. Tell
Are you
it.
Ready?
I am. All she told me was it was a good one.
It's a good one. I mean, I don't want to brag, but sometimes I do better than others.
It's true, we all do.
Yeah,
sometimes we're like
on point. But you know what I mean, God, let's hope this doesn't just like jinx it, because sometimes I felt that way about a case, you guys.
Oh, gosh,
and
I
I've read it and I've been like, no, that
was
not good.
What was I thinking? I know, it's so true.
So fingers crossed, y'all. So today's case is a listener suggestion from Whitney Druko, and it went down in Carlsbad, California.
Oh, very
Whitney suggested this case. Actually, a couple people have suggested this case, but this is the suggestion I found when I searched the group. And it was a while ago. She probably forgot she even suggested it, but girl, I didn't. So here you go.
You did not.
It went down in Carlsbad, California, home of Legoland and one of my favorite campgrounds. I recommend. It's a really fun beach town. But before we travel back in time to the SoCal beach paradise in 1991, we are going to go back further to 1987 in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Oh, I'm going there this weekend.
Oh, I bet it's going to be hot.
Oh, why? Because it's like real hot there?
Yeah.
I haven't even looked. Okay.
Okay. Well, that is where two teenage girlfriends made their way to watch a skateboard competition. 1987 skateboarding competitions were a whole thing. Vert skating. That's where they go up the like the big ramps.
Mm-hmm.
Vert is short for vertical.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't know that. It was, you know, the whole ramp thing. Skaters like Tony Hawk, who was 19 in 1987, were killing it. They were treated like rock stars. Skate fans flocked to these competitions and watched these guys do their tricks. Skaters had it going on with their cool street style, and Jessica and Brandy were all about it. These two disco biscuits had watched the skate competition all day and found themselves at a party that night. 17-year-old Brandy met Mark Rogowski, known in the skate world as Gator, and it was on. Gator was a good-looking pro skater who really was one of the top skaters that people flocked to see. He was not just a talented skater, but a big personality that also made him like super popular. Some of that personality was charming and some was extra. Gator really liked the shock value. So he would walk in a room naked if he felt like it. Mm-hmm. I get the vibe he was pretty full of himself. There was an incident.
Like it.
Yeah. I knew those kind of guys though.
I 100%.
Yeah. There was an incident where a kid was bugging him for an autograph and he punched the kid. That was like in front of a crowd of people. He also punched a cop in front of an audience.
Kind of an asshole.
At a competition. And he liked to say he was the most illegal skater.
Lame.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that shit is hot, but it was working for young Brandy. No shade, Brandy. I fell for some real dickasters when I was 17 too. And, you know, she's still in high school. Mm-hmm. Gator, by the way, was 21 when they met. So given how into each other Brandy and Gator were, it's no surprise when Brandy graduated from high school, she traded in Tucson for the skate scene with Gator. Gator's connections helped Brandy get into modeling, and she did ads for skate companies like Vision. Her and Gator also did some ads together. They were described as the golden couple of skating for a moment in time. One of those moments is memorialized in one of the most iconic videos of all time. Tom Petty's Free Falling features both Gator and Brandy.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Remember the skateboarding scene?
Yeah. No, but I can't remember anything.
But everybody else does.
But I will look.
Remember, that's not your strongest. I'll bet you remember the scenes with the Galleria because you relate to that more.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, alas, according to Brandy, her relationship with Gator was not really as glamorous as it appeared.
Mark, wouldn't you know?
Wouldn't you know?
The guy like that? Mm-hmm. Right.
Mark had grown more and more controlling since she moved in with him. Mark, I'm going to use Mark and Gator interchangeably.
Okay, same person.
Just FY, same person, yeah. Mark had a lot of demons that undoubtedly contributed to his less than stable behavior that sometimes appeared as rage. By his own account, Gator says he was exposed to pornography at a very young age and abused as a child. And then couple that with the bipolar disorder that was undiagnosed at this point in time equals Gator was a real live wire. Mm-hmm. At this point, he also was watching his skateboarding career that he had banked on never ending deteriorate real rapidly. This was mostly due to a shift happening in skate culture from vert skating to street skating. Street skating was a new thing, and street skaters had the edge with their growing popularity, and that ended up in translating into them getting the lucrative sponsorships that had funded Gator and his lavish spending up to this point. I just watched the Tony Hawk documentary on Max.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I'm all about skating right now. And this period of time is a period of time where Tony went broke too. Even he had to sell his big house and lean on his wife to support the family. You know, Tony is a goat. And he said that he dealt with the stress by continuing to skate. And obviously it all shook out for him in the end. But Gator turned to drugs and alcohol to deal with the stress. While under the influence in Germany in 1989, he jumped out of a two-story building. He survived, but sustained some serious injuries.
Why did he do that? Like, did he do it for fun, like Jackass style, or did he?
I think a combination of that. And he says that he thought he could fly.
Like he was so very high, he thought he could fly?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, it's not real. It's not crystal clear, but it wasn't like a suicide attempt. Okay. It was just dumb, uncerebrally developed move.
Okay.
So while he was recovering, he connected with a man named Augie Constantino. Augie and Gator had a lot in common. Augie was a professional surfer whose career had ended as the result of injuries he suffered from an auto accident, and he had to reevaluate his life at that point, and now Gator did too. Augie had turned to the Lord and was now ministering in Carlsbad, California. These two men became close. When Gator could, he would join Augie to recruit youth to his home church, Calvary Chapel. Gator was born again and making big changes. According to Brandy, he told her they were done banging until they got married. Brandy thought he had lost his damn mind, but in an effort, you know, and because she loved him, she went to church with the born again Gator, but it did not have the same effect on her as it did her boyfriend of now 3 years. She was not feeling the church scene at all, but that's not what was the demise of their relationship. Demise was because Gator locked her in a closet for hours. And after that happened, she ended the relationship because she feared for her life. It's all like very conflicting. According to Brandy, he's had this spiritual awakening and is all about Jesus to the point he didn't want to bang, but he would scream at her. She was a slut in a fit of rage, unapologetically. You know, it's like, it's conflicting. That's not like, what would Jesus do? That's like, what would Jack Hole do, right?
This is like, I don't know. That sounds very
bizarre.
Bipolar-ish.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So Brandy packed up her things and bounced. Fortunately, her parents had moved to California recently and into a gated community in Canyon Lakes, about 90 minutes from Gator's Carlsbad condo. The guard-gated community and the distance was comforting to Brandy because, you can imagine, Gator didn't take her leaving well. He left awful messages at her parents' home. When he learned she had started dating a surfer, he really didn't take it well.
He's like firefighters and police? Like,
totally.
Surfers and skaters, they're like,
I imagine,
close, but, you know, don't like each other, kind of.
I don't know. Actually, I think they're kind of friends.
No, they are. They're frenemies. I think it's like the same thing.
I think it is like frenemies, maybe. So somehow Gator managed to get past the guards in the gated community, break into the house, take everything he had ever given Brandy, including her car. A week later, the car was found torched in the desert along with all her stuff. Brandy thought, well, you know, the relationship's over and hopefully he's done now. Hopefully. She continued to work in the modeling industry for the next year, but she always looked over her shoulder because Gator still harassed her with threats like murder. And speaking of murder and all things disturbing, Gator confided in Augie that he was struggling with a pornography addiction. I would classify it as disturbing because the pornography that Augie subsequently helped him get rid of was not like Playboy or Hustler, okay? It was violent and disturbing, like the kind of stuff you probably find now on the dark web.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, scenarios that involved rape and murder. Real bad. But on the upside, you know, sounds like he's doing a detox of sorts, getting rid of it.
Okay.
But the impression that imagery had made on Gator, I don't think ever left him. His threats towards Brandy intensified, and so did his obsession about hurting her. But ultimately, it wasn't Brandy he ended up hurting. It was someone that no one could have ever seen coming. Brandy had lost touch with her friend Jessica that she had once been so close to in Tucson, the one that was with her the night she met Gator. They hadn't had a falling out or anything, but it was now 1991. People didn't really commonly have cell phones yet. And, you know, remember, you would get a new phone number when you moved?
Yeah, no, you didn't have cell phones.
You lost touch with people.
Yeah. You maybe had the car phone, but that was only if you were like rich and old.
Right. And Brandy had been moving and working and partying and just being 21.
Yeah.
Jessica had just moved to the happening area of San Diego, Pacific Beach, to open a flower shop.
Oh, isn't that fun?
It is. Jessica didn't know anyone except her friend Brandy's ex-boyfriend, who was this super cool pro skater that lived in Carlsbad, which is only about 30 minutes from PB. PB is what the locals call it. Jessica called up Gator just 10 days after she arrived in Pacific Beach and asked him if they could have lunch and he could show her around and give her the deets of the San Diego scene. Gator agreed and picked Jessica up. He took her to a waterfront restaurant in La Jolla, which is like a lovely affluent area, and showed her around. At some point, they decided to grab some wine and movies and go back to Gator's house in Carlsbad. When it got late, Jessica asked Gator to take her home, but he didn't. I'm not going to get into the detail of all the vile things done to Jessica, but it's worse than you can imagine. And after hours of torture, he put her in a surfboard bag and suffocated her to death.
Oh my God. This guy, I mean, this was the stuff he was probably watching on his porn.
Exactly.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
He then drove a few hours out to the desert where he left Jessica in a shallow grave. He stopped to rent a carpet cleaner on the way home, and no one knew. When Jessica's parents back in Arizona hadn't heard from her in days, you know, they naturally grew concerned. Mm-hmm. They reached out to anyone they could think of, and they got a hold of Brandy and told her Jessica was missing. Brandy felt bad that her longtime friend had made the move to California but hadn't reached out to her. She hoped Jessica's parents wouldn't have to worry too long and asked them to just keep her posted. After a week of no sign of Jessica, you know, no banking or contact, they drove to San Diego and filed a missing persons report. They were able to convince her new landlord to let them in her apartment, and they found she had hardly moved in. She had an address book, like we all did back then, where you had to write everyone's numbers down,
yeah.
And they went through it. There was only one San Diego number and address in it, Gator. And so her father paid him a visit. Jessica's father, Steven, said he looked into his eyes and shook his hand and never saw so much evil in his life.
He knew.
Such callousness and uncaring, he said. He left after telling Gator something about what he would do to him if he had hurt his daughter. But he had to leave. The detectives that took the report from her father, Steven, were genuine and helpful, but the fact that Jessica had just vanished and they didn't have anything concrete about her last whereabouts without someone coming forward that had seen her was daunting.
Embrace new beginnings. What a better way to start off 2025 than to learn a new language. I got Rosetta Stone over a year ago and have really enjoyed learning a couple different languages. Y'all know that when I went to Japan, I was learning Japanese, and now that my daughter is taking French in school, I am learning French through Rosetta Stone. It's amazing. It's been around for 30 years, so it is really the most trusted online tool to learn a new language. They have 25 different languages to choose from: Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, Dutch. I mean, if you name it, they probably have it. I think that it's amazing, and you should think about doing this for your New Year's resolution too. It's convenient and flexible, and the value is unheard of. You get a lifetime membership for all 25 of those languages. Start your New Year's off with a resolution that you can reach. Today, Housewives of True Crime listeners are going to be able to take advantage of this New Year special from Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your New Year's offer at rosettastone.com/today.
Listeners, every year around this time, I resolute I'm going to get grown-up stuff done, like get that colonoscopy over with that my doctor's been bugging me about, get my affairs in order, like making a will. And why is it that a will seems to be more daunting than the colonoscopy? Well, it doesn't have to, because trust and will makes creating your will easy, like lounging on the couch easy. The website is really simple to use and the process is straightforward. Each will or trust is state-specific, legally valid, and customized to your needs. So for my family, my main concerns are guardians for my children. Whether your main concerns are your care wishes, your final arrangements, or power of attorney, Trust and Will has you covered. When maneuvering through the process, if you have any questions that stop you in your tracks, there is actually live support available through phone, chat, or email. Trust and Will has earned thousands of five-star reviews from Trustpilot. So check one of your goals off early this year with Trust and Will. Protect what matters most in minutes at trustandwill.com/HTC and get 10% off plus free shipping. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/HTC.
Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, your kids, and your retirement, even during the holidays. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you. And you don't need a ton of time. You can create your Acorns account and start automatically investing your money in just 5 minutes. Acorns helps you build your financial future in the background so you can focus on all your holiday shopping and parties. So genius. Another great thing about Acorns is you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now. That could be $5 a day or even just your spare change. That's right. Acorns can round every purchase you make up to the dollar automatically and invest your spare change for you. So that coffee you grab on the way to the mall, that's investing. And you get bonus investments just for buying the stuff you need from the brands you love. With Acorns, every single gift you buy this year could put more money in your investment account. It's like cash back, but the bonus investments have a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns investing, involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink.
Her parents printed flyers and posted them all over. This cute blonde, new to San Diego, girl gone missing made the news, but the story lost momentum and the flyers in the windows faded as the weeks passed. But there was one flyer still posted at a 7-Eleven in Carlsbad 2 months after she had disappeared, visible where Augie and Gator had decided to stand outside and share the good word. This particular day, Augie approached a young woman who was wearing a skirt he felt was too short. So he told her that if she would please go put some more clothes on, he would like to talk to her about the word of God. Her response was along the lines of, "Kick rocks, I don't need God." And Augie pointed to Jessica's flyer and said, "Without God, the world is dangerous and you could end up like this missing girl." And took the flyer down. He then folded it and put it in his Bible because he told Gator, "Well, you know, I didn't get that girl, but I'm going to pray for this one." This got to Gator. And so he called it a day early after sharing the word of God with Augie outside the 7-Eleven, but Augie didn't know why until a few days later. Hours after Gator attended Augie's latest sermon about Judas, he showed up at his home distraught and told Augie that he was Judas. Augie asked him, "Who did you hurt?" And Gator told him to open his Bible. Augie still had the flyer.
Oh, that's so weird.
Yeah. After his confession, Augie told Gator, "You have to go to the police." But Gator quickly bolted. Augie was able to tackle him in the street after chasing him down barefoot in his underwear. At the station, he detailed all the hours of horrific violence that Jessica suffered before he suffocated her.
Gator did. He confessed.
Mm-hmm. He stated that Jessica was the mold Brandy was made of. This is like quotes from the police report. It was basically Brandy with a different body, but the same personality and everything. He told the police, "Everything I hated about Brandy, I hated about Jessica." The police were initially not sure if Gator was delusional or what, because it's not common for a suspect to just walk in and confess, especially given the nature of what he was describing. But when Gator named the exact spot where he had left her remains, they knew sadly what they were hearing were not just delusional ramblings. Yeah. Jessica's body had been found a few weeks prior in the desert, but when it was found, it was already completely skeletal and had not been able to have been identified.
No way.
Yeah. Gator later recanted his confession and said that Jessica... Yeah, he said Jessica was the aggressor and that he only hit her after she asked for it. Gator was charged with murder and forcible rape, and the news had a dark effect on the skate community. Like I was describing earlier, it was already this period in time where the vert skate stars that were, I mean, they were rock stars. Mm-hmm. Like I found a picture of Gator with Cindy Crawford in his prime.
Wow.
He was on MTV's Downtown Julie Brown. You know, just a few years prior. And, you know, all these guys were adored. And then so quickly they were viewed as washed up and sellouts. So, I mean, you know, remember, like I said, even Tony Hawk was broke in 1991.
Right.
And then now there's this. So describing it as a dark cloud is an understatement, I think. It took years, but these Burt skaters sort of reclaimed their status later in the 90s with the introduction of X Games. But 91 and this going down was not working for them. It's still something that they don't really talk about. It wasn't in Tony Hawk's documentary. And even when they showed pics that Gator was in, they never mentioned his name.
They don't mention that he's a horrible murderer. That Mm-mm. Why do you think that?
I'm going to say this last name wrong, but Christian Hussoy, I think is how you say it, okay. Who's a real big deal. He mentioned it in his book in about three lines and then moved on. I found one Tony Hawk quote that said he was sick to his stomach when he had heard about Gator and he couldn't skate for the rest of the day.
Bummer.
That's it. Yeah. Some people in the loop commented about Gator in the documentary Stoked that came out a decade later. And I will get to that documentary in a minute. Gator ended up taking a plea deal to avoid the death penalty. At the sentencing, they had extra security there because there was an apparent risk that Jessica's father would try to harm him in the courtroom. Can't blame him. Yeah. He didn't, but he did address Gator for 20 minutes and reminded him about the day he had shook his hand and had told him what would happen if he had hurt his daughter. Gator received 31 years to life. He received hundreds of letters of support while awaiting trial. The story that was repeated in circles was that Jessica had asked for him to choke her and her fatality was an accident.
Dude, they all freaking say that. It's like, that didn't happen.
No, that didn't happen.
No.
That story was perpetuated in the documentary Stoked. It's called Stoked, The Rise and Fall of Gator that came out in 2003. I agree with most people that the documentary Stoked is shit. The first 80% of the documentary was about Skater and the movement, like skating and the movement towards street skating. Mm-hmm. And then it gets into the murder, and there is literally commentary by multiple people that say things, for example, like the girl was trying to entice him, Gator had been drinking wine.
Excuse me.
Yeah, and his resistance was down. He was feeling very pressured and struggled with why not just do her? And then he's also, it's not the thing to do religiously. Just so much unjust sympathy for Gator. There were also comments like, well, he did turn himself in, so he must have felt really bad. I believe that a documentary should tell the story, and those interview clips are fine in that they give credence to that is what those people believed. But what makes it total shit is that their version was repeated over and over, and his actual confession was not emphasized at all. These people obviously didn't know or really want to know what happened.
Right.
They didn't even know Jessica, and they felt they could objectify her, and it's mind-blowing. I would hope that they have evolved since then. The documentary includes clips of jailhouse calls with Gator and the documentary producer. And in one, he says he should have received mental help, but the brand of Christianity he was practicing at the time ridiculed psychology. I found that interesting. Mm-hmm. But what also I hear in Gator's voice and tone is that he doesn't really get it. And sadly, he's not the only one. In an interview with Mark Abloh on the very popular skate podcast, The Nine Club, in 2022, Mark talked about Gator for about a minute and said it was just rough sex that went wrong and it was an accident and Gator freaked out. Well, the podcast received a lot of backlash for this interview, and they took out the mention of the incident, but it's still out there.
Yeah.
I found it so I could listen to it in context. Mark issued this statement after receiving so much backlash. I've always tried to see the good in people, and I should have educated myself much better, especially before speaking in any capacity, either in public or private, about such a horrendous and senseless murder. He also said that he read Gator's confession and it made him physically ill.
I think people don't do that. It's the same thing with like Ashton Kutcher, who came and like defended.
It's very Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah. It's like, dude, know your facts before you want to go talk and defend somebody that has done horrific things.
Yeah. Unlike Ashton Kutcher, who I still think is really insincere, I can appreciate the way this guy walked it back and apologized.
Right.
Different. I wish more Gator sympathizers would take time to look at the evidence too.
Yeah.
Which supports his confession 100%, by the way. Remember, he got that carpet cleaner and you couldn't tell what happened, but they luminoled his home. And what happened in there was clearly horrendous. This was very brutal. Well,
he also confessed to it. So it's not like he's saying this stuff.
Yes.
And it like, just because it's the same thing. It reminds me of that. What's the guy that has the same name as Deadpool that we just did? The tattoo face guy, you know,
Wade Wilson. Yeah.
Same thing. Gave the whole confession. Talked about, remember he talked about like, he went into gory details that I didn't even get into. And I'm sure this guy did the same thing. And it's like,
absolutely.
You have these details. You did it. You're telling it because you have to get it off your chest and you can't live with yourself anymore. Like holding it all in, you know, like,
and if he had only choked her, there wouldn't be blood all
everywhere.
Over. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Gator has been up for parole multiple times since 2009. Mm-hmm. He was granted it in 2019, but Governor Newsom reversed it and reversed it again in 2023. He is up for parole again later this year. At the last hearing, Jessica's father spoke and said, "The pain never goes away." He told the parole panel, "This inmate received a life sentence, but he imposed a death sentence upon Jessica and our family."
Yeah.
"I found a petition to free him that has been signed by 750 people that say he is a changed man." Augie Constantino is still around, and his thoughts are that he is sure that it wasn't Gator that killed Jessica. It was Lucifer.
I just can't with these people.
I can't. He now lives in Maui and owns an art gallery there. I don't believe he's still ministering in any official capacity. I did see him comment on a post that what was wrong with the Stoked documentary was that it fails to talk about the molestation Gator suffered and his fascination with the occult and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I can appreciate those being factors to like what made Gator a monster, but I can't with the outside factors being an excuse. I can't.
Yeah.
There have been a few shows and articles in the last 10 years that have put out a more well-rounded portrayal of what happened. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, it's shocking that there was a Gator fan page created on Facebook. I think that the group that is called Remove Gator from Facebook, which is what I found when I was searching, succeeded in getting it taken down because I couldn't find it. Okay. I just found that group.
Yeah.
In a segment released by his lawyer after the last parole reversal, he said he holds no resentment towards Governor Newsom. However, he is confident in his recovery and that he can be an even greater asset to society in the free community, where he can speak out about toxic masculinity and violence against women on a broader platform.
Listen, I really do hope that he has gotten a lot of help in prison. I really do. But his actions are far more than anybody wants to see on the outside of those walls.
I'm not convinced he's not dangerous still. Mm-mm. His lawyer also said his friends and family are innocent in this and they do not deserve his continued unwarranted incarceration.
Dude, you want to take on his burden?
Yeah.
Because that's what he's going to be when he gets out.
Patricia Arquette tweeted at one point that she had gone on a date with Gator. And something about the way he kissed her freaked her out. So she gave him the wrong number. And then she said, the moral to the story, trust your instincts.
Totally. How many times do we know better?
Yeah. Now I want to give you an update on Brandi McLean.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what a burden it has been for her processing what Gator did to her friend. In 1993, she was arrested in a sting operation that ended, the one that ended Heidi Fleiss's reign as a Hollywood madam, but Brandi was never charged. It appears she moved on to a relatively low-key life after that. She is married with four kids and lives in Tennessee and is somehow friends with Kyle Richards. I don't know how, but they have pictures together. In 2022, she made the news again with her pal Heidi Fleiss, but this time the sex working had nothing to do with it. They got in a public spat over parrots. If you didn't know, Heidi Fleiss fancies herself a parrot lady now and lives alone in Nevada with like a million parrots.
I did not know.
Yeah. She sold four to Brandi, who agreed to never cage them. And Heidi found out that she had. Brandi says that it was just at night and it was because it was cold outside and she worried that they would freeze. Not sure if these ladies ever came to an agreement about the birds, but I mean, I found that interesting enough to share with you that they had kept in touch.
Yeah. But
I think maybe Brandi should write a book. She's got a lot of stories to tell. Lastly, as for releasing Gator, I mean, I think you guys know where I stand, but I am all for him bettering himself while incarcerated. He has earned a bachelor's degree, and of course, he preaches to prisoners. Mm-hmm. And I think the reward for his good behavior should be a more fulfilling life while incarcerated, not release. I wonder if these people who are so quick to free him ever think about the Bergson family and how they feel and how they personally would feel if Jessica was their daughter.
No, you would never. Like, there, you do not know. No.
I am also still so not okay with him saying things like something just came over me. It was the devil. That is such a cop out.
Yeah.
Like, it was you, dude. And if people honestly believe, like Augie, that it was the devil can take possession of Gator and it was the devil's fault, then why would you want him released? I mean, if it happened once, it could happen again.
Yeah.
His next parole hearing is set for November 7th, right around the corner.
Oh. Well, as long as Newsom's in, probably.
Yeah, Newsom does not seem to be a fan.
No,
so
he definitely doesn't. Does
yeah.
He?
So that.
Is wow. It. Okay. That is a sad, sad case.
It is a sad, sad case.
And one that you would never expect, right?
Yeah.
This poor girl and her poor family. Never, ever would I ever. Oh my God.
Yeah. And skaters, so, who knew? I honestly, like, I really learned a lot about skateboarding.
Uh-huh.
And I had no idea it was such a big deal.
Did you not ever hang out with the skate crew?
Yeah, I did. I mean, yeah, but I didn't like, I guess there's all these skate videos and everything, and that's like a thing. Like, I always had to like watch boring ass surf movies.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Cause your boyfriend was a surfer.
Yeah. I never had to watch all these skateboarding movies, but it's the same thing. Like how all those pro surfers back then before the interweb, there were magazines and then these movies grew their following.
Right.
That's how everybody knew who they were. I didn't realize it was the same thing with skateboarding.
Yeah. I mean, I watch lots of skateboarding videos.
I am
too.
In love with Tony Hawk. He's so like vulnerable and honest in this documentary. I wish he would talk about Gator. They were close.
Yeah.
They are like, there is this period of time where there were only like five professional skaters that were really popular, you know, and he was one of them. It's also another really interesting thing that kind of parallels the gymnastics things. Like the reason why it's so crazy, like they were so young is because they turned pro at like 12.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so do you see the girl?
They'd already been in it for a decade. So, it's like the gymnast thing. It's like, it's not healthy.
Did you see that Did you see that skateboarding was in the Olympics this year?
Yes. And breakdancing, apparently. I think I could win.
Well, you could definitely win if you were competing against Sally, who took the cake in all the videos because she was an Australian that really had basically the same moves as you do on the dance floor.
I disagree with that.
Yeah. So you could definitely enter next year, but I think they're taking that out of the Olympics or in 4 years. Mm-hmm. But there was a girl that is, I think she's young, like in the teens, that competed this year. And I have a friend that worked for, I want to say Vans. I'm pretty sure it was 100% Vans. And he had signed her as one of the, you know, like athletes. Mm-hmm. And then he got let go or something from the company and they let her go. Also, boo to them.
Yeah,
because now she was in the Olympics and like everybody's talking about her. So
yeah, I have a lot more respect for how much skill and how hard like it is a real sport. Skateboarding should be in the Olympics. I'm with it. Maybe.
Dude, it's like a crazy sport.
Yeah, it's crazy sport. Yeah.
But yes, you start as a kid because you don't have the fear, dude, that mm-hmm. you do. Like you cannot be doing the skateboarding as an older human. I mean, skateboarding injuries is all the time. You could break your legs and arms.
My son is doing skateboarding right now.
Okay. Well, not him. He's not going to because you have him all geared up with like, you know, the helmet and all that stuff, which is nice that they all wear that now. Most of them, you know, we talked about helmet importance and you gotta wear the helmet.
Okay. On that note.
Is that it for today?
Thank you
so much for listening. Check us out on Patreon or the Clink Clink Club on Apple. We do an extra bonus episode on Thursdays. Gretchen does a crime, which is coming up once a month. And then the other part of it, it's kind of like the beginning of our episodes, but even better. And we talk shop. We talk about what's going on in the news.
I can't.
Today.
There's so much news. We are going to get into it about Anna Delvey, this dance.
Oh my
stars,
gosh, you guys!
We can't. Don't even get us started right now.
Okay, listen. You should listen on Thursday because there is too
also,
much going on.
Yeah, the next bonus crime is going to be what happened on the set of Rust the movie versus The Crow,
which.
With Brandon Lee.
Brandon Lee also.
Same thing. Yeah, but we'll talk about it there.
We will. And then if you want to get really nice, beautiful skin, I just got out of the shower. You want to see on YouTube, this is what I put on my face. I put on, I used our Smooth Criminal in the shower, and then I just used our serum. Beautiful. So get that at fivecrimes.com, and that's FIVE crimes, and use the code CLINK for 25% off. And we'll catch you on Monday or on Thursday if you join our Patreon on CLINK CLINK, and hopefully you do.
Okay.
CLINK CLINK. CLINK.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.